Today's gospel reading picks up right where we left off last week, in the middle of Jesus' discussion about the bread of life. The crowd around him was asking for more wonder bread, like the feeding of the 5,000. They challenged him with the example of manna. Our ancestors out in the wilderness ate bread from heaven every day. Can you do better than that, Jesus? Now, the point that all of this is building up to is here, where we just pick back up. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. So, are you hungry? What is it that you're hungry for? This time of on Sunday morning, I guess it's getting on towards lunch, so maybe if you didn't eat breakfast this morning, you're checking your watch to see if we can go ahead and get out of here, beat the Baptist to all the restaurants. The crowd around Jesus that day were thinking with their stomachs, too. But beyond that, we'll sometimes talk about having a hunger for something, meaning having a strong drive or a passion in life, that so-and-so really has a hunger to succeed, a hunger to win the game, a hunger for wealth or fame or whatever. It's having a yearning, a craving, a desire that won't be satisfied until you get what it is that you're after. And so I would say there are a lot of hungry people out there today. Not just literally, though physical hunger and lack of real food are still a problem for too many in our world. We shouldn't be too quick to move on and ignore that kind of hunger. We see it even in our own community. But still, that's not really what we're talking about here in reference to this gospel reading. There is a hunger, an unfulfilled need, an unsatisfied discontentment in so many people around us. Watch the news, or even worse, spend a little time on the internet, and think, do people really seem happy today? Are most people really content in their lives? It's not whether our lives are going well or badly, but the perception that people have. Too many are starting to seem like a toddler who needs his lunch. Discontent, on edge, getting cranky. They don't even realize that it's because of hunger. Now, my own personal observations, and a number of studies and polls that back it up, I think, would suggest that there are many people, too many people in our country, who are definitely not satisfied in their lives. There is a great hunger, and I think people often don't even recognize what it is that they're after. They have no idea what it is that would satisfy them, what has the power to fill a hunger and to meet a need that they don't even consciously know is there. We're always looking for something. Maybe I'd be happy, or I'd be satisfied, or I'd be at peace with my life, if only. If only what? If only I had a newer car, if only I had a happier relationship, if only I had a job I liked better, if only I had this or that. It's like the puzzle with a missing piece. We have a feeling that it's never quite complete. We're not satisfied, we keep trying to fill ourselves, but it never lasts. The bread of this world, literal or metaphorical, fills you up for a brief time, but the next day you're just as hungry as ever. We are starving for the true bread of life. We don't even know what it is that we're hungry for. There's a good kind of hunger, too. Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger." Who hunger for what? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Not success or fame or wealth, but righteousness. Those who hunger for righteousness are blessed, those who yearn for and crave the righteousness of God. And Jesus promises, those are the people who will be satisfied in the end. That's why Jesus' promise is different. There is bread that really fills you, that you will receive, and after that you will never be hungry again. We get similar promises in Revelation about the saints in heaven. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And in the Psalms, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And again in the Magnificat, the words of the Virgin Mary as she responds to God's promise about the child that she will bear, he has filled the hungry with good things. So where do we see this happening? Jesus points us to himself, the bread of life that came down from heaven, the bread that if anyone eats, he will live forever. This hunger will be satisfied on the last day, when the promise that Christ makes in this passage is fulfilled, I will raise him up on the last day. In this life, we have a hunger for this, and we get just a foretaste, a glimpse. But we're given the whole thing. We're not fully content until the next. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to find the place where all the beauty came from, the place where I ought to have been born. That longing for home, it feels not like going, but going back." What a picture of paradise where with hunger for God is filled. And yet it begins even now. Those who hunger and thirst for this righteousness will be satisfied when they eat the bread of life and they drink the springs of living water. This is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Those words that we read in Romans chapter 3. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness find what they are seeking when they have faith. For this is how we eat the bread of life. We believe in Jesus. This is how we are satisfied when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, by receiving the righteousness of God that comes only by grace through faith in his Son. We know it and we have it now from the moment that we come to faith. We know it as we hear his words to us, as we come to him in prayer, as we're comforted by his presence in Scripture, in the sacraments, in the fellowship of his church. These things help to satisfy that hunger and give us the bread of life, who is Jesus. And he continues to point us towards the time when that hunger is fully and finally fed, when we are raised up on the last day by our Lord, when we join him at the table he has prepared for us, when we enter the feast of the Lamb of God and his eternal kingdom. And it is all, every bit of it, all of God, it's all God's grace, his gift to us. Where does normal bread come from? It's a lot of hard work to make, actually. My mother is a great baker of sourdough bread, and I have watched the process many times and done it myself a few times. It's a pretty sensitive thing. You have to get everything just right. The right amount of flour, of water, of oil and yeast, just the right temperature to rise, just the right amount of time for the yeast to work, to knead it, to form it, and so forth. It's about a 24-hour process. You have to come back and check it repeatedly every few hours. I have messed it up many times. If even ordinary bread is like that, what a good thing it is that we don't have to do that work for the bread of life that Jesus promises. This bread of life comes down to us by grace alone. We don't work in the fields to grow the grain. We don't harvest it. We don't grind it up into flour and mix it. We receive the bread of life as it comes down to us from heaven. Our Lord Jesus, who came down into our world to be our life. Even the place of his birth points us to this truth. He was born in Bethlehem. And that word Bethlehem, Beit Lechem in Hebrew, literally means house of bread. The crowd mutters to themselves and they wonder, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? Well, no, apparently they don't know the story of his birth. But we confess this together in the Nicene Creed. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and he was made man. The bread of life came down from heaven and was born at Bethlehem, the house of bread. The living bread came down. He says, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And this happened on the cross when he offered himself up, his body nailed to the cross, his blood spilled out for the life of the world. This is why he came down from heaven in the first place, for the purpose of dying and forgiving himself as a ransom for all people. He is truly bread of eternal life, because in him death itself dies. The power of death is destroyed. With him we rise again to eternal life. And so we thank and praise God because Jesus has done this for us. It was the plan all along. Jesus says here, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the will of the Father. Everyone who believes in the Son, everyone who hears the promise of the bread of life, who eats this bread by having faith, every single one who does, will have eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. Not one person who belongs to Jesus will be lost or left out, but the will of the Father will surely be done. He knew that we needed to be fed, and he sent the bread of heaven to feed us, to live forever with him. So what is it that you're hungry for? Look to Jesus for the food that lasts, that truly satisfies. God not only gives you daily bread, as we pray, the needs of our life each and every day, but the bread of life to last forever. Everything you truly need is already yours. May we never fail to see and to remember that. It is the will of God that you should be fed, to be full, to be satisfied, to be raised up for eternal life, all through what he has done through the bread of life that came down from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the peace, the satisfaction, the comfort that this promise gives guard your hearts and minds now, every day, and always, unto the eternal life promised in this bread. Amen.